you have women who have been told they should be all and do all, and now they're struggling to bear the weight of it all. And when you fear God and let Him define who you should be, let Him define what you should carry, then that puts you in the right position then to receive what He has for you.
Well, those observations come from Crystal Evans Hurst from the last Focus on the Family broadcast, talking about what it means to be a kingdom woman. And we're going to get into the very heart of what that really means, to live your life to the fullest for God as a kingdom woman, on today's Focus on the Family, hosted by Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
John, last time we talked about Kingdom Woman, and you know, so often I'm thinking of my wife, Jean, you're just overwhelmed. You got so much going on, trying to be the Proverbs 31 woman, trying to keep the house together. Perhaps you're even working outside the home in addition to working within the home. And women today, I think, are stressed out, feeling that there's too much to do, that there's no way I can get it all done. That can build some resentment because maybe husband is not doing the things that you'd like him to do. And we want to talk about all of this today. And it's based on a Focus published book with Tyndale called Kingdom Woman. And it's written by two wonderful people, one Dr. Tony Evans. Tony has been on the broadcast many, many times here at Focus on the Family, and his daughter, Crystal Evans Hurst. And I just want to say welcome back to Focus on the Family.
Well, it's always a good thing to be with Focus.
Let me just say that Dr. Evans is senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Jim, we're in their offices today, and what a magnificent campus this is. He's also president of the Urban Alternative Ministry and has a daily radio program called The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans. I might add that just last week I was listening to something that you said on that broadcast, Dr. Evans, grabbed me. I've been thinking about that ever since. I'll tell you later what that was, though.
Okay.
And Crystal is a mother of five. She has homeschooled, what, all of them, Crystal? Or
at
most
some
of
point.
Them? Yeah, if you're a homeschooling mom, you're always homeschooling, I guess. And has co-authored, as you said, Jim, this book, Kingdom Woman.
First of all, why did you two collaborate on this book?
Well, you know, I wrote Kingdom Man for Men, and we began to get all of these requests from women to say, okay, we've seen what God is saying to men being operating under God's rule. What is He saying to women?
Did you feel a little underqualified?
Well, yeah, I felt like, I'm going to need a little help here on this one. I can give the Bible, but I need somebody to give the emotion and the feeling and the experience, of which I have very little. So,
you're not in touch with your softer side.
I'm a little limited there, okay?
Too much time around the Dallas Cowboys, I guess.
So, Crystal is an exceptional writer and speaker and thinker, and yet she's got all the experience of motherhood and womanhood. And so I said to her, why don't you collaborate with me? I think this is your season. And everybody knows about Priscilla Shire, but Crystal has a lot to offer. And so she agreed to collaborate, and we put our heads together and took the word of God and took the reality of what it means to be a woman, put them together, and I think a most phenomenal, fascinating book called Kingdom Woman.
Now, that is interesting, the two of you, father and daughter, collaborating on this book. Were there moments when you were looking and working on the manuscript where the maleness and the femaleness of it came out, where you guys were looking at each other like, what?
Well, it's more on my side, you know.
This is confession time.
Okay, you know, okay, this is what the Bible says. Her side is, yes, but this is where women are. And you must be able to take what the Bible says and apply it to where we are. And I'm saying, yeah, I'm the father. You don't have to say all that. You know? So, but anyway, it turned out good.
Now, let's get the real story, Crystal. Is that how it came down?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I actually think verbatim in the book, there's more than a couple times where I'm reflecting on what he's written. And my words are you serious? Like, God, are you serious? Like, does this really work? Does this really work? And yes, it works, but you walk with God and you see kind of in retrospect, just like we look at the Bible and we can see in retrospect, hindsight is 20/20, how God worked things out. Mm. When you're in the midst of living life, sometimes you don't really see that it's going to work out for you. And as the book progresses, I think there's a lot of that. There's a lot of this principle approach where this is how God works and this is what he did in the Bible. And then there's a response of this is what this looks like. This is how it worked for me, or this is how I realized that this particular attribute of God is true.
Crystal, you strike me as a person that is just very honest in your heart.
Very.
I see that. I can feel it. You don't struggle saying, God, I don't get this, is my impression. And that's refreshing, where we're not faking it, but you're actually Absolutely. Coming to the Lord saying, this isn't working, Lord. What I see in your word may not be working for me. How do you approach those times when you feel like maybe God has let you down as a woman?
Well, you know, faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me is an act of the will. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. But most of the time, when you don't feel it, you can ask God to help your unbelief and believe without a shadow of a doubt that he will do that, that he will show up. Mm. And that if you don't choose to change your footsteps based on what you see, if you operate based on what you believe about him and about who he is, he will show up and show himself to be true.
And I think, Tony, when we talked last time about everything that Crystal experienced as a teenager, a parent can lose hope if they get pregnant before they're married. You start thinking about, man, will this child come around? Talk about that as a father raising a daughter, because there's so many daughters that seem to go astray. How do you maintain hope that that daughter will come back?
Well, I guess the one thing that I try to do, don't do it perfectly, but I try to do it, is hold God to his word in spite of the way circumstances are looking at the given moment in time. I assume that what I see is not all there is. And because I assume that, I try not to let what I see control what I think and what I do. I go through the emotions. When she was going through her struggling period, I went through the ups and downs, me and her mother, emotion of what she was going through. But I continue to try to call on God to not let me be stuck in the mud of the moment. And as long as I could have hope, that's why hope is so important. Hope is joyful expectation about the future, that where I'm going is better than where I've come from or where I am. So when we looked at her during her struggling times, I not only saw where she was, I saw hope that the word of God gave me and tried to hold God to his word.
But Tony, that is so critical. So many dads particularly, I think, because dads can be harsh. And when you let your father down, that can really, it can destroy a relationship. So speak to those dads. What you're saying right there is so critical. If you have a daughter who is not living up to your expectations, what do you do?
Well, the first thing you do is offer unconditional love. Unconditional love says that I don't love you because of what you're doing or not doing. I love you because you're you and because you're mine. So that embracing of unconditional love. But at the same time, you have to call for repentance. You have to call for confession before God and others as necessary. And then you help with the process of restoration.
That reminds me of our Heavenly Father. I mean, he loves us unconditionally. We mess up. I mess up all the time, but I know that there's grace there. As you talk about being a kingdom woman and write about that, how much of a struggle is being a kingdom woman for a woman who had a distant dad or a dad who didn't do, Jim, as you said, who didn't offer that kind of grace? I would imagine that's a challenge.
Well, it can be a challenge when you have a dad that failed you or had a dad that rejected you or didn't have a dad at all. And we're seeing more of that today in our culture. Before Eve ever met Adam, she was exposed to the Lord. Before there was any man in her life, God created her and he had to bring her to Adam, which meant that Adam was not initially in the picture. So your relationship with God as your father, or as Isaiah 53 says, if you're single, even God as your husband, that you have to learn how to place God in that position relationally. And that's, of course, also why he's given us the church, where we can be in a context of God being visible through people to touch us in the empty spots in our lives. And I think people being surrounded where God can be a father to the fatherless and a mother to the motherless and a husband to the husbandless, where he can be those things through his community of faith, is absolutely critical for people to hold on to hope when circumstances offer them none. Mm.
There's a story that you share in Kingdom Woman that I think all parents relate to, and I think it may have involved you, Tony. You were babysitting Crystal's child, is that right?
That's right.
And
don't okay,
this
remind
is good.
Me.
I like
that
this.
Did involve Tony.
Okay, this is every parent's nightmare, especially if you leave your kids with somebody else, even if it's grandma and grandpa. But I mean, when Jean would leave the boys with me early in our parenting, she always panicked that I was going to be preoccupied with something, fixing something around the house, and that one of the kids would go missing. Tell us what happened to your child.
Well, we were at a family camp not too far from here. We were staying in a cabin, and one afternoon when all the kids were sleeping, it was a great opportunity for the ladies to go to town and get some shopping in. So we left all the kids bedded down and ready for nap time with Poppy, as they all call him.
And you're Poppy,
I'm
huh,
Poppy,
Tony?
I'm Poppy, yes.
And so about an hour into our trip, I get a call from my dad that said the front door of the cabin was open, and that my oldest son, Trey, as we call him, was missing. And so we're 20 minutes away from the location. We're trying to get back, and he doesn't know where he is. And mind you, this cabin is surrounded by woods and water. Oh, water my. On one side and woods on the other. And so, you know, there was probably about half an hour there where you're just, you know, thinking the worst. You know, where is he? Who has him? You know, is he on the side of the road somewhere? And turns up he saw us leaving. He was in a diaper, that's all. It was probably 50 degrees outside. And he left the cabin chasing after us. And the front door was, you know, opening and closing as we were leaving. So it was probably not odd to my dad to hear the door open and close one more time, or at least open. Anyway, takes off down the street running after us, and saw a car going 60 miles an hour down the street, goes into the middle of the road, starts chasing the car.
Oh my.
They pull over and try to figure out whose kid this is, you know, and it could have ended up a lot worse than it did. But, you know, it's turned into a funny story. And it's a story actually my son remembers, because it's the time when he says, "Mommy, you found me."
Oh, man. I mean, that is a nightmare. Tony,
we don't have to keep talking about this. We've spent far too much time on this already.
But you know what? Let me just add something. You asked a little bit earlier with women that maybe have had brokenness in terms of their relationship with men, how this works. And, you know, when my son said that to me, I thought, that's just how God is. Sometimes we're in search of him, and we're not quite sure how to attack the relationship or what the relationship should look like. But my son said to me, "Mommy, you found me." And the thing that we forget is that God is always in passionate pursuit of us. So sometimes when we're looking for him, or we're trying to figure out exactly what things should look like in terms of our relationship, he's also looking for us. And that makes the journey of becoming a kingdom woman and having a vibrant relationship with Christ, it makes it doable.
Mm-hmm. And that is such a practical principle to pull out of such an embarrassing story for your dad.
Oh, you want to keep this going?
No, I'm just thinking
now.
You got to feel pretty good.
I backed off. I just kept coming.
Right.
You got to feel pretty good that she got that out of that story. So our guests today on Focus on the Family are Dr. Tony Evans and his daughter, Crystal Evans Hurst.
You know, I'm reminded of the stats, and this is simply discouraging. That's the only way to say it. And Tony, it involves both men and women, obviously. But when you look at fatherlessness in our country, it's devastating. And 40% of kids under 18 living in homes live without a father in the home. 40%. And here, Crystal, moms are doing all they can to carry that load. What do women look at when they look at men in the culture?
Before there was this title of Kingdom Woman, I think the idea is there. I'm here. I'm doing all of this as a woman. I'm holding down a job. If I'm a single parent, I'm parenting. I'm doing all the work of two people. I'm having to work twice as hard as a man, and, you know, that maybe my counterpart in the workplace. I'm doing all of this, and, you know, what is the man doing? You know, if the man I'm looking for, the man I'm married to, you know, the father of my children, you know, what is the deal here? But I think, you know, we've had hundreds and hundreds of years where women have been called upon to be strong at times of war, when men are off fighting battle, or, you know, husbands or fathers are dying at the hand of the sword, and women have to do it all. So this is not a new concept. And I think God really designed us, you know, the Bible talks about in Genesis how he took his time with the woman and he fashioned her. And I think he knew that we'd need a little extra, because not only did he call us to be a woman in these different situations in marriage and parenting and all that, but he knew that we would be called upon sometimes just as a result of the culture, or sometimes as a result of what men are not doing, to do more. And he built us to be able to handle a lot. And I love this word, Kingdom Woman. I love this title, because it implies that we're able to do it too. Not that there aren't different rules, different roles, different situations, and how those dynamics are applied, but that we're strong as well, and God created us that way.
Tony, let me ask you graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary a few years ago.
Yes.
But the history of the church, if you look at the early centuries of the church, first, second, third century, women played an incredible role in keeping the church moving forward, in helping people, in setting the orthopraxy of the church, in doing those deeds that really brought the Empire of Rome to its knees.
There would be no church. There would be no Israel. There would be no church. There would be no evangelical legacy if it were not for women. I mean, let's go all the way back. Let's start with Moses. If Moses' mother, Jochebed, didn't save his life, then there would have been no, from a human standpoint, savior for Israel. If Esther hadn't done what she did, then they would have been exterminated by Haman. If Deborah didn't step in her role, Israel would have been slaughtered by their enemies. You can go on and on again. Women are critical to the kingdom of God, and that's why we need kingdom women, because the kingdom, from a human standpoint, shuts down if women abandon it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know where to go now. I mean, that's incredible, and it's so uplifting. Mm-hmm. And Crystal, I feel that, I hope that women feel that empowerment and what you're trying to express in the Kingdom Woman message, that you can be everything you need to be in God, in Christ, and not have want and not have need in the way that so many women are experiencing today. Speak to that woman, though, Crystal, just one-on-one. When you sit down and have coffee with a girlfriend who's desperate, who is in a situation that just, she doesn't know where to go. Perhaps her husband has left her, and she's got three kids, and now she doesn't know how to make ends meet. What would you say to her across the table?
Well, I always keep it simple, and it's just that you can make it. But then I'm quoting from other examples that I know of, because I've seen other people make it. My grandmother had eight kids. My grandfather traveled a lot. And so she primarily, although she wasn't a single parent, acted in that kind of a role many times because it was just her with eight kids. So when I personally am looking for inspiration, I can say there's somebody I can put my finger on, and they've done it too. And again, that's why the body of Christ is so important. Even though we may know intellectually that we can make it, seeing that someone else has done it and having them say, you can do it too, is so very important.
We've got to cover the issue of submission. In the culture, that is the nasty word. And everybody struggles on that. The non-Christians ridicule the Christian community for this role definition. And they don't really understand it, in my opinion, because when it's healthy, it's good. It's not abusive. It's not dictatorial. It's teamwork. It's breaking the tie, whatever you want to say. But Crystal, from a woman's perspective and what you've experienced, what you've written in your book, Kingdom Woman, when you get to this issue of submission, what does it mean to you?
Well, you know, in corporate America, we understand it. We understand that because I work well, because I have many degrees, because I have 20 years of work experience, and I'm the vice president of operations, that does not have any impact on my role and my relationship with the CEO. The CEO is still the CEO, and what I bring to the table doesn't change that dynamic.
So it's well-defined.
It's well-defined, and both are well-respected, but they both understand their role. In the home, in my family, what I had to learn and understand, and it's been a process, is that submission does not mean that I'm less. Submission does not mean that I'm not talented, I'm not gifted. It does not mean that I don't have thoughts. It doesn't even mean necessarily that I'm not a leader in terms of my design and my personality. What it means is that when it comes to roles and responsibilities, there is one person who makes the final decision. And they may consider what I say. He will consider what I say. He values what I say. He values what I think. But there has to be somebody that in the end is responsible. And that's all that submission means.
Mm. Why do you think it is such a volatile issue in the culture? What's driving that?
I think a lot of it is that key to the relationship between a man and a woman in the home has also been used to abuse and misuse women over time, where women have been put down or considered less than or silenced, in fact, to say that you're not valuable or that the thoughts, talents, gifts, and abilities that God has given you don't matter as much as the ones that he's given me. And that's not what God intended at all.
Mm. This is critical. The woman is so important to God's kingdom program, including the family, that God says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, that the man's prayer will not be heard by God if he doesn't value the input of his wife. So a man is losing out on his connection with God not to give her equal standing with him before God. Because when they act as one, God hears them in a way he doesn't hear them when they are separated. So a man is a fool not to value his wife. In fact, when the Bible talks about submission in Ephesians chapter 5, before he tells the wife to submit, he tells the man to die.
That die is, to his wife.
That's right. He must be his wife's savior. So a woman should say to her husband, I really want to submit to you, and it's going to be a lot easier as I see you die. Okay?
Now, I'm not sure.
We're talking metaphorically here.
Metaphorically, yes, yes. That is to die to yourself and seek my well-being and my highest good.
Right, and that really connects the whole issue of where men have failed.
That's
and
right, absolutely.
Because of that, we have a lot of the chaos in the role definitions today.
That's right. So what the husband and wife ought to do is he should get kingdom man and the wife should get kingdom woman, and they should like read it to each other and come out on the same page as a kingdom couple.
There you go. That's
the next book. Kingdom couple.
I like that. But you know, as we wrap up today, that really is the point, is that God designed this male and female in his image. Now, he could have done it many different ways, probably, but he's done it this way. He's designed us male and female in his image, and we come together as one, as you just said, Tony. And in that, we learn about selflessness, hopefully, about giving and sharing and changing and being under God's authority as a couple. And I think that's one of the biggest struggles we have in Christian couples today, is our ability to live it. Because I think when we live it correctly, the blessings of God are there. And I so appreciate the fact that you've talked about, from a very deep personal level, the things that have made you a kingdom woman, Crystal, and the wonderful direction that you've received from your father, Dr. Tony Evans. And let me just say thank you. Thank you for being with us on Focus on the Family.
It's an honor to be with you. It's always an honor to be with Focus.
Thank you so much for having us.
That brings us to the conclusion of our conversation with Dr. Tony Evans and Crystal Evans Hurst. It was a privilege to be with them in Tony's office there in Dallas-Fort Worth. And Jim, I imagine there are a lot of women in our audience who are saying, thank you, that was encouraging. Crystal offers such good words for moms and wives and single women, and I think it really resonates because she's been there. She's learned how to overcome those struggles.
Well, and I loved her transparency, John, her willingness to share tough stuff and the things that she's going through. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where people can hook on to the Lord, where we are showing our vulnerability. Yeah, he said, when you are low, I'll be raised up. And so we need to remember that. I loved her refreshing voice proclaiming God's message of value and worth and love for women. I think, and I see it through Jean, I know that so many things can weigh her down, and I think she is very representative of many, many wives and mothers, and we're here for you, and we know you carry a very heavy burden. I hope you've taken that message to heart today, that you are a woman of significance, that God loves you and desires to use you to advance his kingdom right where you're at.
Well, Jim, we did hear from a lot of listeners. In fact, one who wrote us told us, this was a wonderful message, a divine appointment for me. And that kind of response is reflective of why this program is being re-aired again. It just struck a chord for so many.
Well, it did, John. And that's why we're here. I mean, that's the ministry of Focus on the Family. Hearing back from those folks who have been touched, it made a difference for them. It gave them hope. It helped them through difficulty. That's what we're trying to do as a ministry here at Focus on the Family.
Well, I'd agree, Jim. I think this is the kind of practical resource that brings biblical wisdom and encouragement and hope, and it's the kind of thing that you'll want to have to pass along to someone you know, perhaps a daughter or a sister or a friend in your church. Our broadcast was provided by Focus on the Family, and on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller.
That was another great day of discussion with these highly gifted speakers who've influenced and impacted the lives of men and women all over the world through their faithfulness to the Lord in sharing what God has put on their hearts. I hope that the women listening in today have been encouraged and inspired. The book Kingdom Woman is a reminder to women of their calling from God to be free, delivered, healed, and hopeful. The authors bring insight that encourages women to correct distorted perceptions and understand who they really are in Christ. And you can get your copy when you call us on 031-716-3300 or when you stop by our website at safamily.co.za. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you to join us next time, when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.